This week, they allowed parents to come to school to eat with the Thanksgiving meal with the children. It got to be some of us grandparents who went. But I'll tell you what, the tough thing is, I got five grandchildren in the same school. And there's four different time periods in which they were eating. And I invested about $25 in meals that day. Just trying to eat every time they came through. But no, actually, I only ate one meal, but I got to see several of them. I didn't see all of them. Peggy was there for all of them. But it was a nice thing. We are at that time of year, you know. And it may not have been November. And they may not have had a four-day weekend. Perhaps they weren't even greeted by Indians, and they didn't feel much like settling down and colonizing in the wilderness. And I'm sure they had no brass buckles or black hats to put them on. But the people of God, in the text that we're going to look at this evening, did have much to be thankful for. And Moses reminded them that often, and so they would forget. You know, 40 years before they had this day, God delivered them from the slavery in Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea miraculously. He had set them on a course for even better things in a promised land. That was not far away. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy tells us there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of the Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea, and it came to pass in the 40th year. And so it so much for a quick trip. It tells us that it was only 11-day journey, but it took them 40 years to get there. These were God's children, but they quickly forgot His wonderful works. And by focusing on the negative, what they didn't have, and for murmuring and complaining and not being thankful, God allowed them to take that and turn that 11-day trip into a 40-year wilderness journey, one of meandering and mayhem. And so a whole generation of adults died. And now their kids here, of course, are given another chance. Now, they didn't have turkey, but they had eaten quail for decades now. And there wasn't any gravy or noodles or stuffing, but they prepared manna every which way to Sunday. You know, they had fried manna, boiled manna, pickled manna, breaded manna, baked manna, reduced fat manna on the half shell. And for dessert, they had banana manna and pineapple upside down manna. Moses takes some time here to recount all that God had done for them and how they shouldn't forget, but stop and give thanks. And Deuteronomy 6:12 says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And so he reminded them from the text that we're going to look at. We're going to look at several things that he mentions here. The first, he reminds them of God's providence. He says, "God hath blessed thee." You know, it was gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken-down pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday until his death in 1973, he would return. He'd walk slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them here from his bucket. And many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond a contact of a radio, and fuel ran dangerously low, so the men abandoned the plane for the ocean. And for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks would ram that raft. But of all of their enemies at sea, one proved to be the most formidable. And that was starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone. They'd been destroyed by the salt, or had been destroyed by the salt water, and it would take a miracle to sustain them. And a miracle occurred. Captain Rickenbacker said, "Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew." And everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at the gull, and the gull meant food if I could catch it. And Captain Eddie caught the gull. They consumed most of it. What they didn't eat, they used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained, and their hopes were renewed because of one lone seagull, uncharacteristically, hundreds of miles from land, that became a sacrifice for them. And so Captain Eddie never forgot that. And so every Friday evening, about sunset, he would visit that pier to remember that one seagull, which on that day long past gave itself up without a struggle. This man was thankful for what that seagull had done for him. To show his thanks, he served these other seagulls by bringing them food. And if that man was willing to commit the rest of his life to feeding the seagulls, how much more should we commit our lives to Christ? How much more should we serve Him? After all, He saved us not only from this present death, but He has saved us from eternal death. God in His providence has always taken care of you. Will you now make a return commitment? Don't just mind your own business. Make the Lord's business a part of your heart's desire for the remainder of your life. Do your giving while you're living, and remember there's only one life to a soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. The second thing we see here is God's perception. It says He knoweth. Psalm 103:14 says, "For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." Psalm 139:1-3 says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my soul path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." God made us. He knows us inside and out. He knows by His perception on our lives. And now our perception, of course, is different than God's. We forget all His benefits easily. And surely we must come across to Him like, you know, "What have you done for me lately?" Now, the story is told of two old friends that bumped into one another on the street one day, and one of them looked rather forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. And his friend said, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died, and he left me $40,000. Well, that's a lot of money. But 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died, and he left me $85,000, free and clear." "It sounds like you've been blessed." "You don't understand," he interrupted. "You know, last week my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000. Well, now, of course, his friend was confused. He said, "Then why do you look so glum?" He said, "Well, this week, nothing." You know? That's the trouble sometimes with receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it is a gift, we eventually come to expect it. And this entitlement mindset really has permeated the American society almost at every level. And we have been blessed to live in a land of plenty. And as a result, we have become complacent. And we have high expectations of what's going to come to us because of where we live rather than what we give. Psalm 103:2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." God's perception, it says He knoweth. You know what He has done for you. Now the third thing is God's plan by walking. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You know, when devastating floods came to Mozambique in the year 2000, families were separated as they fled from them from the rising waters. The death toll rose as the flood waters rose, and many bodies were later discovered, of course, that were people who had drowned during this huge flood. And some counts that they had of the death toll during that flood were somewhere in the thousands of people. But one Mozambique minister named Samuel Naftal gave thanks to God for mosquitoes, for saving his life. As Samuel Naftal, along with 16 other people, they clung tightly to some limbs of trees for 2 days, and they asked him if he'd just begin to preach. And all of them hoped that his preaching would keep them alert to their surroundings. Now, that's a lot different than preaching that happens in churches, I know, because it puts a lot of people to sleep. But they was hoping that his preaching would keep them alert, keep them awake. And so they listened and watched, and they saw as furniture went by and dead cows floated by. And then the mosquitoes began swarming around them and repeatedly biting them. And Naftal testified, "I thank God for those mosquitoes because they kept me from falling asleep. And if we had fallen asleep, we would have been carried away by the water." And he and the others hung on and were finally able to wade to safety as the waters began to recede. You know, it's not often that we are thankful for something like mosquitoes, is it? They ruin a lot of fun times outside on a summer night. We sometimes wonder why it was really necessary for Noah to bring those along on the ark. But God has a plan at all times, whether we recognize it or not. Will we trust Him and trust His plan? Now, the fourth thing in our text is God's purpose. It says, through this great wilderness, Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." The Lord knows what you're doing, you know, and His plan is the vehicle which He brings His purpose into our lives. He is teaching us all the time, and we seem to learn the most in the desert days of our life. And so we shouldn't despise the desert days when they do come. Now, fifth thing here is God's patience. Again, these 40 years, Acts 13, 18, "And about the time of 40 years suffered He their manners in the wilderness." You know, when it comes to patience, our God is the ultimate, of course. Why does He put up with me? How can He still be willing to work on me? And He still has a plan and purpose for me. Yes, how patient He is. You know, to be truly thankful, we need only to be thankful. Think, and it won't take long to see that God has blessed you richly, and He's patient. You know, He's been there all the time. It says, waiting patiently in line. A sixth thing is God's presence in this one passage. It says, the pillar of the cloud and the fire. He's there, He's present, He's with us. Matthew 28:20, Jesus declared, "Lo, I am with you always." And later the writer of Hebrews records, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so His presence is there just as real for us as well as the pillar of cloud and fire was for Israel. The seventh thing is God's provision. Thou hast lacked nothing. Deuteronomy 8:4, "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." That's one of the amazing texts, that their clothes, their feet, their shoes, all lasted for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And notice here, it even goes on further than that. It says your feet didn't even swell. You know, how often does that happen to us that we're discomforted by the activities of the day? Psalm 34:10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Will we be thankful, or will we be like the 9 out of 10 lepers that came to Jesus to be healed and go away without ever saying thanks? The sun had just risen on a hot August day in Plélot, France, in 1944, in a small village. It was German-occupied France. A 15-year-old boy didn't know what he and the other citizens of Plélot had been lined up for, but they were lined up for in front of a firing squad in the middle of the town square. Perhaps they were being punished for harboring a unit of the French underground freedom fighters. All the boy knew was that he was about to die. And as he stood before the firing squad, maybe he thought back to his carefree days of early childhood before the war, before the occupation. Perhaps he thought of all that he would miss by not having a chance to grow up. But most of all, he's probably just terrified of dying. And suddenly the boy heard the sound of exploding mortar shells beyond the limits of his little village. Quickly rolling tanks could also be heard. The Germans were forced to abandon the firing squad and face a small unit of U.S. tanks with 20 GIs that were led by a gentleman by the name of Bob Hammersley, who was a corporal in Patton's 3rd Army. The underground captain had asked Hammersley for help, and after 3 hours, 50 Nazis were dead and the other 50 were taken prisoner. In 1990, the town of Plélot honored Bob Hammersley on the very spot where dozens of the town's citizens would have died if it had not been for him. And the man who initiated the search here for Hammersley to honor him in that ceremony was the mayor of Plélot. He just happened to be that 15-year-old boy. He was grateful for Hammersley, who had risked his own life to save his and many others. And now, as a grown man, he was determined to find him and honor him. You know, when you are truly thankful for what someone has done for you, you will desire to express thanks to them. And that was Moses' thanksgiving message to God's people in 1456 B.C. Years ago, a much greater sacrifice was made willingly for you and for me. Are you thankful for what Christ did for you on Calvary? How often do you thank Him for His sacrifice? Remember to give the proper thanks to the proper people this week as we think about Thanksgiving.